It's said that the only constant in life is change, and today's guest exemplifies what it means to grow and transform throughout life. Melanie Falvey has worn many hats in her lifetime, including that of interior designer, creator of Sacred Jewels, and visionary media innovator, to name a few. As founder of Expert Channel TV, she has created a world-class media ecosystem empowering leaders, experts, and entrepreneurs to turn their message into a movement and their presence into a legacy. Half British, half Spanish, Melanie describes herself as a global citizen at heart. Her mission shines bright as a supporter of the new paradigm of visibility, which she feels is not being everywhere all at once, yet finding yourself in just the right place for you. I'm excited for you to listen today. You'll walk away inspired with a few ideas of what it means to let your energy speak for you long before you enter a room, as Melanie shares. Let's dive into this divine conversation with her now. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome, Melanie. I'm really excited to be in conversation with you today. We met, I always like to give a shout out to where I meet my guest, and that was a virtual mastermind experience this summer with Melanie Ramone. And just now, in divine timing, we're convening. I got to meet you personally just about a week ago to learn more about your background. And as I mentioned in the intro, you've kind of woven through different fields, but they're all connected in, I was going to say, only the way that you can explain, I think. You know, I can see threads, but it is your life and your experiences that have led you where you are today. So I think it's going to be a fascinating episode, and I'm excited for you to share with us what you're creating in the world. So welcome.
Oh, thank you, Maureen. I'm so honored to be here. I know we only actually had a chat last week. We have been connected since the summer, and I have been seeing your work and different people I truly trust and admire, like Melanie Ramone and Alicia Isaacs House, kept mentioning how we needed to get together. Yes. Right. I can totally see why. And I'm really excited about this. I'm actually a bit nervous. I'm usually on the other side. And I was trying to remember the last time I had been a guest, and I just couldn't even remember. So it must be a really, really long time.
Yes. And it must be just the perfect time to be one. I was recently on someone's podcast, and I'm usually not on the other side of the mic either. So it's an interesting place to do, to say like, oh, you know, what's going to come today? I think that I was, because when we met last week, I didn't know your background. One thing that stuck out to me when you described, oh, Maureen, you know, many years ago, I started, I think it was, you know, over 20 years ago as an interior designer. And then you got into jewelry design as well. But I think the thread we were talking about was that you always identified as a creator. And I believe that there must have been some trust in your own creative process, even if you didn't know what you were doing. But can you tell us a little bit about those earlier days and how you started in your career? Because I think a lot of people have shifted or consider shifting. And we can kind of see with your story, it's like, oh, it's been an, I don't want to say a natural process, because I don't know that for sure. But let's just go back to the early days and what was happening in your life then.
Oh, I love that you're asking me this, because it gives me a chance to look back and see what the process looks like, what the journey looked like. It has been very natural. That doesn't mean it has been easy all the time, but definitely natural. Yes, I'm very creative. I think that's a blessing. And I think we are all born creative. Even my lights are creative. Can you see what they're doing? Sorry, it's not distracting. I setting them up the same way I always do, but they seem to have a life of their own today. So yes, I truly believe we're all born creative, and somehow, call it whatever, education, conventional ways of bringing up and bringing us up as kids and whatever, we lose that creativity. Oftentimes, because in the adult's world, I think they're not able to explain to us or show us how important a tool it is. And maybe it's just like, oh, it's nice to be creative, but it's not going to be, your job, your career. And so you keep, pushing it there. I was definitely not that case because my parents were also creative, and they always, encouraged me to fulfill my, whatever it was at the time, being creative, and I know you are too. It means every year it's a different thing. So I was always either looking through the microscope or, creating jewels when I was a kid, or trying to blend the perfect scent, which would always go wrong, obviously. It was always about creating and just being able to bring a different way of doing traditional things. So even when I became a teacher, which was the first career, and I definitely didn't think I would become a teacher. My mother was a teacher, and it just became, like the natural path. I can't even explain why. I definitely didn't want to be a teacher at first, and I ended up having a school, running a school. But the way we run the school, it was all about bringing this innovative methodology and doing things differently. And we had, from kids groups to adult classes and groups, and we worked a lot with companies, and that was the big thing we did. We were different, we were innovative, we created our own materials. It was not about, typical boring textbooks at the time. And then, and again, I didn't want to be a teacher, and yet it was such a fascinating time of my life because I was able to create. And, what did I think about education? What should it look like from my perspective? Probably completely wrong, but what did I want it to look like? And that's what I served. And when that stopped being a challenge, it's when I moved on to my next career. And that's how, I became a designer, because I had always been designing either jewels or interiors, just like for friends, no, technical background at that point. But then it just became like people started saying, why don't you do this? And so I started studying, because for everything I've done, I've always needed to feel ready first. Well, ready up to the point. If you're waiting to feel ready, you will never do anything. But I really wanted to get my certifications and really know what it was about. Also, because if you're designing a space, you need to make sure it's going to stand and not collapse. But yeah, that took me there. And then from there, I was designing video backdrops online. And then suddenly I realized, okay, I need to become a better communicator. I need to build up my confidence on video, because I wasn't doing videos. And it just again became a natural, next step to create the framework, the magnetic speaker. And as I have evolved in my spiritual journey, I have been able to bring all those little angles and different perspectives to the method. So it is obviously you need to know, your instrument. And I did study speech therapy also back in the day to make me a better teacher. I thought I never actually implemented anything, but I guess now it all just comes together, makes sense. And
Yeah.
it's
Amazing.
interesting. Yeah, because now I'm able to, like, put on events or shows or podcasts, and it's all about the inside, the energetics. How are you showing up? What's your intention? What are
Wow.
you trying to do? But it also looks good because of my background as a designer. So it just makes sense to me.
Yeah. That's what I was, that weaving that you're describing of, okay, that archetype of the teacher coming in early. I loved the two things about those teaching days. You were an innovator because if that was at the beginning of your career, that was a while ago. And that was very courageous to go in and create something that you just pose that question, what do I want it to look like? And I don't feel the way most of us have been conditioned, that we were ever taught to say, well, what do I want this to look like? And that right there is a creative nature that is within all of us. And that right there is also feels like a design question of, what do I want this to look like? So I appreciate those sort of those questions that they feel like they became guiding principles to you, even if you weren't sure they were happening. And that's really important because I also believe, what do I want this to look like? It's a like a guiding question for today as we pull our power back to ourselves. So thanks for offering that.
Thank you. And I want to make it clear that it's not what I want it to look like because of me. It's always like, what do I think people need? And
Okay.
that gives you the answer. At least in my case, that gives you the answer. It's
Yeah.
just.
And could that mean, what do the people in front of me, the people I am serving, need? But also, as you've grown in your spiritual life, has that become overarching, what does humanity need as well?
Definitely,
Yeah.
definitely. As an introvert, I look at things from two perspectives. As an introvert, even when I'm doing videos, I'm confident on video, obviously, nowadays. But at the beginning, what really helped me was to just think about the one person, just one person who needed to hear what I was going to share that day. I still feel the same. I never feel in terms, I don't think, oh, 3 million people are going to watch this. No, it's only about that one person who needs my message today, or maybe not even my message, maybe they just need someone that smiles at them and that will make their day better. And it's interesting because whenever I create any service or even product, I'm still thinking about that one person,
One
but
person.
it's in a collective way, definitely. I mean, my spiritual journey has made me more comfortable to think about serving humanity. I know that is part of the
Yes.
mission. I might not
Yes.
know all the pieces yet, but that's part of the mission.
I love to, when we break it down and we say that one, the one person, the one that might be listening or hearing or reading what you are sharing, is that is enough? And why is that enough? Is it because of the ripple effect, or what is in that for you?
I definitely believe in the ripple effect. And I also believe that I believe in not showing up everywhere, definitely,
Yes.
being very selective and not in a snobbish way, but being very selective of where you show up, how you show up, and being very mindful of our energy and our channel and keeping it clear. So I always believe that whoever needs the message is going to find the video, the podcast, the summit. And it's always happened that way. So that's why I think of the one person. And I also believe that when you're speaking to that one person and truly connecting heart to heart, and that's the system I use, I call it heart to heart communication, because many communicators are great speakers, but they are surface level speakers, and they might be fantastic and speaking in front of millions of people, but they're not truly connecting through the heart. And I think that's a completely different way of communicating. So when you actually communicate heart to heart, it just becomes that ripple effect, that one person watching. And let's face it, it's never just one person watching, but it's a symbol. One person is going to affect another person, another person. And that ripple effect is just so, it feels like magic. It's not magic, but it's just fascinating. And I think we have that power, like you through your work and this wonderful podcast. It's such a gift that we get to do this. It's also a responsibility, but it's a beautiful one.
Yes, I agree. What have you learned about, as you've kind of started businesses in the world and these offerings, was there a part of you earlier that kind of was more in a linear type of path and like, okay, I got to do this and this and this, and now are you understanding it in a bigger way, like sort of like how we met, right? I think Alicia Isaacs-Howes, She said, "Oh, come to Melanie's Facebook page." I don't even know if I looked, it could have been even over a year ago, maybe last fall or something, maybe when you guys first crossed paths. And then, so I am, in the field of expert channel TV and what you're doing. And then it's not till almost a year later that we're sitting down together. I get a sense about your process because you're talking about heart to heart, that there's a lot of intuition that's used. And is when we are in our heart space and in our intuition, is that a linear process or is it allowance of something bigger?
Think there's a lot of a need to trust, and that's always very scary. I find in my journey, I've probably been doing things that I wasn't aware I was doing, and now just because I have, more awareness, I'm like, oh, that's why. But I've never actually done things in a linear way. So I'm very quiet. I'm very, I'm not a loud leader, but I am a rebel at heart. So if
Yes.
I don't truly believe in something, and if I don't truly believe it's fair and it's going to have the impact I need it to have, and it's not, out of integrity, I will never go there.
Okay.
So building a business, sometimes you're, and at the beginning, I was taught, well, I was never taught business at the beginning. But you study the strategy and you think business is all about strategy. And that just doesn't sit well with me. And now I understand why I was missing the other piece. And so it's no, it's never been linear in my case. But I've always been a good listener, also because I'm very shy and an introvert. So I love listening. And I think that has helped me greatly because I've just listened and said yes to opportunities. And maybe I wasn't feeling ready, maybe I was really scared, but somehow something, there was a nudge there saying yes, you need to say yes to that. Also being at the same time being very selective and saying no to anything that wasn't aligned with my core values and anything that I thought wasn't in integrity. And in some ways that has made my growth slower, especially I remember when I was running my jewelry business, and that was like the only thing I was doing. Well, probably not, but like the main business. And I had an opportunity to sell my jewels in a country. I'm not going to go into detail, but it was a country where women's rights were not existent. And I even had a meeting arranged with the secretary of the sales department manager, because he was a man, and of course he couldn't have a meeting with me, so I had to have a meeting with a woman's secretary. Of course I would never have a problem having a meeting with the secretary instead of the manager. That wasn't the case, but it was like, no, I don't want to go there. And I know other designers who started when I did, and they're right now, they're like huge, and they were offered the same opportunity. And I was like, no, that's out of integrity. I don't want to do that, especially me. I've always been about women empowerment. And so it was like, no, sometimes it makes it slower, but it feels better. And that's what helps.
Yes, it feels like it's likely a driver to some directionality in your life, because if you had become this mega jewelry, woman, that there wouldn't expert channel TV and all the visibility
Absolutely.
work that you're doing. And that's a neat thread, because it's almost like the path that you went down, you're able to almost like touch so many lives for maybe even some of these people that are still in that industry, right? It's just so all beautifully. It's not, the path isn't put forward without us creating it, but the way that it ends up, I keep on using that word weaving, but that thread coming together, and then we become so aware that we look and we start to see it. And I think that's the beauty of when you talk about yourself also as a listener and a deep listener, is that there's a lot that's happening when you're listening. It looks like, oh, you're just sitting there listening. No, you're picking up. Tell us about that. Like, I feel like you're picking up on patterns. You're seeing things that can go together. Your certain things pop out to you that are important that might be unseen to another.
Absolutely. For me, it's the way to evolve and to make sense of things because I love listening and observing, and I can see, and I love that you're using the verb we, because that's how it feels like. You know, everything is interconnected. We're all interconnected. And when you're able to see those connections, and I also like to think of myself as a connector, I love connecting people to opportunities and people to people. And it's just, oh, so exciting. So whenever I'm watching, looking, listening, I can see so many possibilities. And, you know, you don't always pursue every possibility. It would be impossible. But having the opportunity, it's like having this wonderful menu, and you get to pick and choose what you're going to be, you know, or having a list of ingredients, and you get to get those ingredients and create something absolutely delicious. I see it that way. And for me, that's my thought process. So to me, it just feels natural. It's easy for me. I know maybe it's not the same way others, you know, process their thoughts. And we're all different, and we just need to make whatever we have work for us. But that really helps me. Yes. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. I don't know if it is for you, but sometimes you see so many possibilities and so many, I don't know, there's so much stimuli. Sometimes it could be overwhelming, and you need to like decide, okay, I'm going to focus here, and I'll just keep this. I have a notebook with great ideas that might never become a reality, but at least I write them down and I feel I'm not going to forget about them. I sometimes look back and think that was so silly. But you know, it's, yeah, there's
It's
never a lack of ideas.
I like your idea though. I recently took a notebook out and was putting, you know, magical moments, and that's, you know, a word that's been coming through me like even the last few days, is that the magic. And my daughter had said, oh, do around Halloween, do something around the holiday or of Halloween. And I thought, oh, magic and alchemy. And just these qualities that your business is also being led by, because when you're just describing the process of it all, I feel that open heart. And running an open-hearted venture is, it's part of the new paradigm for sure. I feel that when you, I think it was when you were describing, I can see all these connections. It's, I want to just really acknowledge that in you, because we can see it. And then seeing it coupled with the open heart allows us to share the goodness and to help promote another or elevate another, or at no expense to ourselves. And that's why that open heart is really coming through as like a key ingredient. And, you know, do you identify with that? And what else do you think are, you know, you've said a few.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do identify with that. And thank you for pointing it out, because yeah, you've described it really, I mean, exactly as I see it. And you're the same, and we're both about collaboration over, I mean, I don't even use the word competition. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, it would just be so boring if we were trying to do this all alone. I mean, what's the point of it? It's like, no, I don't want
And
to do it alone.
it's really fascinating. I want you to get into Expert Channel TV some, but it is fascinating as we are building our businesses, is that what we're gravitating towards. And for some reason, and you know, I've done, well, wellness coaching, but then conscious parenting, and then soul care or spiritual psychology. And the two words that always jumped out at me were the unity consciousness. And I don't know why, but I have to believe it's part of my soul's journey. It's not like we deliberately say, oh, I'm going to do that. Like, you weren't probably, in a sense, that heart-to-heart communication is something that came to you and you followed the thread. And that kind of goes back to the thread that you said when it was when you were describing your design business, and you know, they would say, okay, come see my house or come put this space together. It feels like there was a real following where your heart was leading you. And I think that's a really important thing to point out to listeners, is it becomes a much more organic process when we follow where we're being magnetized. And you, I think you use that word a lot, instead of like having to think it all into place.
Exactly. It's a process. You need to know yourself, and that's not always easy. Get to know yourself. and really feel where decisions are coming from. And it comes down to intuition, but also you can physically feel it. So if you're feeling something around your heart area, maybe it's the right decision. And I mean, not it might not work for everybody, but for me, it's never let me down. And I mean, I've made so many mistakes. And I have, collaborated with the wrong person for me. But that doesn't mean that I won't do, the same and I will follow, because sometimes you do get the nudge, like, oh, this is not going to be right for me, but you want to give it a chance or whatever. Or at the beginning, you're more naive and you think, oh, yeah, well, you don't listen to the nudge. Then you learn how to listen to the nudge every single time. But it's just a process. I think we're here to grow and to help others grow, to grow together. So growing involves making mistakes and falling and standing up. And even if you're doing it organically, it does feel more natural and supported in a way.
Yeah.
Because it
And
feels like I can't explain all my steps and how I got here, but I know I have felt supported in an explicable way. And that's why I know this is my mission, simply
yes.
because it was, random things, opportunities, people saying something that you will, I don't know, you've been on the journey, so it just feels like, ooh. But it makes sense. And especially when you look back and when you have more awareness, then it's when you understand, oh, that's why I took that step. And that's why I said yes to that. And that's why I made that mistake. And that's why, because it's all preparing us to become the person we need to be to truly fulfill our mission the best way possible.
Oh,
It's
cool. Yes. I love that so much because I'm thinking of that word misstep or like, and it's related to sort of what we think of mistakes. But if we have this, kind of array of paths that we're being led down, a misstep in one direction is just a reorienting to, and then we get a little like it's that fine tuning of getting closer to why we're here, an expression of that, when people call it the divine blueprint, and that we came in. And that's exciting to me. And that's, I want to get into Expert Channel TV. I know that there's been many endeavors that have been offshoots, it looks like, but you've grown this platform of, you started saying like the TV, I think podcast, but tell us about that and why visibility is also one of the main missions of your life at this current time.
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, I think it's because it's the lesson one of the lessons I had to learn. It's always more comfortable to just be, behind the scene. I've never had any interest in being, on screen, on stage. Like that was not me. But even at school, I would get always that if there was some activity, I would be named the leader, the captain, the monitor. I was like, no, I was the quietest person in the class. I now think teachers were maybe trying to, bring me out of my shell, and that's why they did it. But I was always asked to be the leader. Even in theater class, I would be given the main character. And obviously, all the girls who wanted to be the main character were really, really cross about it. I was like, no, I don't want to. I want to be the tree. And it was just, now I understand why. And because for me, it was such a journey. It was, to me, visibility, the journey to visibility is really a journey to self-love. And, it has been a fascinating journey. In my case, it's been a really long and hard journey. But that's why now I can help people. And it's not a long process. And it's not a hard process at all, because it's truly enjoyable, and it can happen in 5 minutes.
That's
It
amazing.
wasn't like that for me, but I know that was my lesson to be able to do what I do today. And also, it doesn't mean that I'm not scared. If I'm going to be speaking in a new stage in front of a new audience, if I'm going to be speaking in front of even online, in front of a new audience, of course there's that responsibility and oh my goodness. But it's excitement now more than, fear,
That's cool.
I've made it. I've made friends with my fears, and they've helped me when they thought they had to, and now it's not necessary because I need to help others. And again, what really helps me is knowing that my videos are not about me. I just have to be a vehicle, and that's it. That's it.
Are you a believer when you support people in the process that it can be for us to stretch and stretch ourselves a little more than we think we can go? And if so, what can happen in the process for a person when they do stretch?
Absolutely. And I've worked with, hundreds and hundreds of people, helping them become more magnetic on camera. Not everybody's shy and scared before they decide to be more visible. It's just a question of them wanting to show up in a more powerful way. Usually it's like, oh, I want to get the views, the clients, but it's never really about that. I mean, yes, that's the outcome. But even people who are not shy, it is a stretch. Because you need to face fears. Maybe you're outgoing, but there will be the fear of, oh my goodness, my sister-in-law is watching, and what is she going to think? And it's always the people close to us. What are they going to think? And they think I'm going to be, I'm just a show-off, and whatever. So many fears come up when we decide to be visible, and then the fear of not knowing what to say, or is my message important enough? And of course it is. If you have a voice, you have a message. Even if you don't have a voice, you have a message. Of course it's important. Your message matters and you matter. But there's so many, everybody stretches. It is a journey for everybody. Even huge communicators need to keep stretching if they truly want to connect and really make an impact and not just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because it feels like even for those people who might be, seemingly more confident or they're able to get on air easily, that the more work done around how what they have to say, how they want to say it is, it's a process of your soul shining through, your true essence. It's not just what is my message? Here it is, just flat and, whatever. But that in the process, because I think that's what's happening. I think Melanie in our mastermind this summer talked a lot about that, the authenticity and sort of when that authenticity is shining through, that is the attractor. That's the magnetic piece. So for my journey, it's just that like ever shedding of these childhood stories often that I carried. And and I laugh because on the podcast, I'm like you, I love to interview people. I love, and I have said before, and it's a story that, is breaking open, but that the solo episodes are more challenging for me. But I think embedded in that is, oh, Maureen, do you really feel that what you have to say and share is important? And it's funny how we can see it in another person. Like I can look at anybody else and say, of course, your story is valid. I've had throughout time on the podcast, it's not always the big names with a lot of followers. It's women who are starting out and they're like, why would you trust me? Like, I couldn't possibly have something to say. And then I say, yes, you do. So I can see it in them. And I think this summer that was pointed out too is like, if you see it in another, it's in yourself. So there's a lot there, but a little bit of outing
Absolutely.
myself. Yeah.
I love that you're sharing that because it is so true. And that's the thing when you're trying to become a better speaker, and like the issue I see with most public speaking courses is conventional courses, is they remain on the surface. It's like, oh, structure your message this way because and do this and move your hands and body language and blah, blah, blah. That's the last point. I mean, yes, of course you need that, but what is your essence? What is your truth? And finding that truth, and not only finding it, but being brave enough, courageous enough to tap into that inner power that is your truth, and showing up in integrity every single time. And not just when you're speaking in front of people, every single time you interact with somebody, bringing that truth forward. That is the most scariest thing. And that is something that changes everything. That is what allows you to connect heart to heart when you're actually able to tap into that inner power, which we all have, but sometimes we just hide it. deep down. And, it's bringing it out. And that's what allows you to show up bravely. And when I say bravely, there's many different ways to do that. But that message that comes from your truth is always valuable. It's always going to help somebody. And there's this funny, we always think that our story has, I mean, of course, our story is unique to us because we are unique, but there's somebody else who has gone through the same thing. And all they need is to hear you say what you've gone through. So it just gives them permission to feel okay. It's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. This other person also went through that. And that's what we don't, so many people don't realize, that sharing your story for, we always think our stories are not important enough, but they are, because somebody else needs to hear your story.
There's going to be something in it. And you said that you're a person who loves and has for a long time gathered women together. And this would be for men too, but when you get people in a sacred circle of sharing, oh my gosh. So you've probably seen it all, right? Whether it's the visibility on a big stage or visibility in someone's family room, and that allowance of being seen and the vulnerability it takes. So I love that you do work sort of across stages, whether it's someone's home or a Zoom screen or a stage.
Exactly. And it's always that invisible thread, and I'm using invisible on purpose, of visibility. Like, even with the work I do with women, we have sort of a graduation day at the end of each stage we work on. And that final day, it's all about visibility. It's like, I'm able to share in the group. And we do lots of work individually because not every woman is ready to share whatever side of the story, part of the story they, but at the end they will be. And that's like the big graduation day. Like, I was able to share it, and it changes people. It really does, when you're able to, let go of so much baggage and so many fears, and especially among women. I love working with women, but we can be difficult. And when you create this beautiful sisterhood as you have, it's just magic happens. It really
And being
does.
open to it. I want, before we end today, Melanie, can you say a few words also about how the Conscious Leadership Summit came to be? And was this the first one that you had just a few months back? Or tell us about that. I'm so intrigued.
Okay, I just love the Conscious Leadership Summit. What can I say? And it's one of those things I can't explain. So I started hosting summits when I started Expert Channel TV in 2019. And the very first year we hosted a summit. It was a very small event, but it was really powerful at the same time. It was on business, how to grow your business the right way. I'm always about the right way, not what everybody's telling you, just the right way for you. And since then, I have, hosted many summits, also for clients, because I host events for other people, like white label, if you like. And then 4 years ago, we hosted the Conscious Wealth Summit. I was seeing so much around with crypto and boom. There was just so much negativity and toxic information. I just wanted to create something different. So we did the Conscious Wealth Summit with almost 50 speakers. It was interesting. It was exhausting, but a beautiful, beautiful project. And then since, we've hosted three Conscious Leadership Summit, and I think I'm really proud of all of them. And I'm so honored that the speakers, some of them have been on every single summit, and they have said, we're going to be on these summits forever as long as you're hosting them. And each time it just becomes better, not just because I become a better host, they're always phenomenal, but the whole movement is becoming, it's the ripple effect. So now the book connected to the summit, and it's just this beautiful movement. And it's not about me, it's about those speakers creating this huge impact. And I do believe that we need a conscious leadership movement. nowadays.
Yes. Yes.
It's so necessary. So
I think so too.
I
Yeah.
just
Well,
feel
congratulations. Yeah.
blessed that I'm able to host something like that. So yeah.
Yes. So beautiful, right? Again, it's moving through you. And I think that that conscious business, I know another woman in Chicago who does work around that, and we need more and more of it in the world. And she would be an interesting one for the summit as well. But just that idea too of an abundant mindset when it comes to that, we need all of this. There, do not shy away if you're interested in shining your light in some way, because the more our lights join together, we're going to create the biggest beacon that the world needs right now. And, I sometimes feel like, oh, are you living in some fantasy world, Maureen? But I think the thing that's been coming to me more and more is, no, you have an internal knowing of your own truth, that the more light in the world matters. And the people on the side can say, well, no, I don't believe that. But if we tune into what we're doing and why we're doing, and that's why the beautiful thing about your visibility is if you go down these paths and you do the introspection and you're wanting to bring messages forward, you are going to just tune more and more and more into what your why is and all the things that go with it. So I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And we're here to bring light. That's what
Yes.
we're here to
Yes.
do.
And it's just the most beautiful reminder. Okay, Melanie, I want to thank you for being here. This might only be a part one today because there's so much goodness to talk about. And I know you said you like round tables too. I'm thinking about round tables for the new year just to bring voices together because that collective expression only amplifies. So if you had a parting message to leave with the audience, does anything in particular come to mind?
Well, I just first of all want to thank you. It's been so fun.
Yes.
It's great to be a guest. Also, no, I just hope we're bringing some, interesting info for your audience. And for anyone watching, just know that you have a truth inside of you that is really nudging you because it needs to come out. And when you let it come out, you will be changed, but you will be changing other people's lives also.
So beautiful. It's so true. And listen to that message over and over and over again. I just want to take that sound bite out and just put it out to the world because it's so true. And that belief that the change within us, the trust of ourselves, does have that ripple effect. So thank you, Melanie. Thank you to the
Thank you.
listeners, as always, for being here. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.